Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
It's Christ the King Sunday, right? Yes, we got the theme of the King and the readings there. You know, I was thinking about what am I going to preach about this weekend, so I decided I would go look at last Christ the King Sunday, last year. Now, I'm going to give you a new sermon tonight, okay? But when I looked at last year's, I thought, well, that was pretty good, you know? So I got to at least include a little bit, okay? A little rerun for you at the beginning. We call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the four evangelists. We call them the four evangelists because they wrote the four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote, and they have this particular role in the church of spreading the gospel by writing. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not, in some respects, the first evangelist, the first one to have the gospel written. And it was written in a very condensed way, a very small economy of words. And who was it that had the first proclamation about Jesus written? Do we know who it was? I preached about this last year. This is your 52-week quiz. It was Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate. And where did he have it written? On the sign above Jesus' head. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, the King of God's people. Jesus Christ, our King. What kind of King is he? What kind of King is Jesus? Jesus the King. We hear in the other readings tonight, the first and the second reading in the responsorial psalm, Jesus says, I'm going to pasture my sheep. I'm going to lead them. I'm going to provide for them. Jesus comes to heal us. Jesus comes to feed us, even with his own body. Jesus bestows his grace on us to transform us. I was reflecting not long ago, teaching a class about the reality that we're incapable of loving God. You know that? By ourselves, anyway. Because of the wound that we have from original sin, that we're not really capable. But this is the way it's recorded for us in the Bible. It's not that we have loved God, it's that God has loved us. See, God has loved us by sending Jesus as an expiation for our sins. Jesus comes to take our sins upon himself. That's our King. And so our King, our Lord Jesus, what kind of crown does he wear? He wears a crown of thorns. That's his crown. What is his throne? His throne is a cross. What is his proclamation on his subjects? Forgive them, Father. This is our King. And that love of God transforms us, and we become capable in turn of loving God. What kind of King do we have? You know, the very sin of Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, there was a litany of punishments that was given. And all of the punishments were redemptive. God doesn't punish us out of spite. God punishes us so that he can heal us and teach us. But one of the punishments that was given to Adam and Eve after they sinned was the toil of Adam would be increased. And the ground would no longer be as fruitful as it was. And now it wouldn't just give plants, it would give forth what? Thorns and thistles. And the very thorns and thistles that were grown out of the ground as a result of Adam's sin become weaved into a cross and put on the head of Christ, our King. So he wears our sins on his head. That's our King. That's how he came the first time. But he's coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming in glory. He is coming back on the clouds of heaven to separate us into the sheep and the goats. And we heard about that a moment ago. So do you believe in that King? Do you believe he died for your sins? Do you believe he hung on the cross of his throne for you? Do you believe that? It's pretty important to believe that. It's very important for us to have faith in that truth. Quoting the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Catechism is a compendium of doctrine. It's the doctrines of the church kind of collected for us into this body of teaching. And quoting the Catechism, faith is a gift to us from God. We must believe. And what we must believe, as of what I've been saying a moment ago, that Jesus died for our sins, that he took our sins upon himself, and he gives us this grace to believe. So faith is a gift from God that we must believe. Yet, quoting again, a disciple of Christ must keep the faith, live the faith, confess the faith, bear witness to the faith, and spread the faith. Service and witness to the faith are necessary for salvation. That's an important concept, that we believe and that we live and that we serve, that these are fundamental components of our salvation. Now, where would I get that idea? Where would the church get that idea? Was there ever a gospel about Jesus coming and it would be the judgment and he would separate people? And what was the criteria that he used to set? Have we ever heard anything like that, where like a list of criteria was given? Could it have been today's gospel even, perhaps? Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? Whatever you did for the least brothers of mine, you did for me. See, Jesus is hiding in our midst. He's right here among us. You say, no, Jesus, I never saw you. You didn't live in my neighborhood. I never met you. How could I have neglected you? What you did for the least of my brothers, that you did for me. As Catholics, as Christians, as people who believe in the word of Jesus and the Holy Scripture, we believe that what we do matters and that it is clear in today's gospel. At the beginning of Mass, we kind of talk about what we do and what we fail to do. God is in our midst and he calls us to serve him in the sick and the downtrodden and the lonely and the abandoned and the different. This Sunday we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. God will give us all the opportunity to know him and to love him and to serve him. You know, the saving act has been done. Christ our King has come, and he has worn the crown of our sin, and he has come on the throne of the cross, and he has saved us. But we must live our salvation. A few years ago, I had a young man. I don't remember exactly how old he was, but he was wise beyond his years. He was He was a contemplative in his own little way at 10 years old, you know? And he had a question for me. He had one of those hard questions that we get asked sometimes. So he says to me, "Father Mike, how come God makes some people in wheelchairs? How come God makes retarded people? This little 10-year-old kid who was a wonderful athlete and a good student and had a loving home, he saw the injustice in the world. He didn't understand why some kids at school had awful parents, never came to their games, never did anything good for them, with mats in their hair and dirty clothes. And some kids were in a wheelchair. Some kids can't read. Father Mike, how come God makes people like that?" I wish I had the perfect answer. You know, but it's a mystery. There's a mysterious component to that. We don't completely understand, I know. But there's another reality, that Jesus Christ is in our midst, isn't he? He comes to us in the hospital bed. He comes to us as a retarded person. He comes to us as a prisoner, as the lonely, as the outcast, as the disfigured, as the just kind of strange person. He comes to us that we might have an opportunity to serve him. Do you get that? You see that a little bit? Though you're always going to have the poor, Jesus tells us. I don't pretend that answer solves all of the problems of justice and why some people have so much and some people have so little. But God gives us that we may give to others. God makes us capable of serving so that we can serve others. Sometimes people may say, "I didn't do anything." Sometimes that's exactly the problem. I didn't do anything. A few years ago, I was watching television and this commercial came on. You know, the federal government sometimes plays these anti-drug commercials. And this was an anti-drug commercial. And there's a guy, he's kind of in the attic or something, right? Him and one of his buddies are sitting up there, and they're about 28 years old or so. They're in their late 20s and they're there and they're saying, they're smoking marijuana and they're talking to each other. And they're saying, "You know, some people say this marijuana, it's bad for you. You know, it messes you up." He says, "Man, I've been smoking marijuana for 15 years and it hasn't changed me a bit. I'm exactly the way I used to be." And so there they are upstairs, and him and his buddy. And then you can hear downstairs, the mom yells, "Billy, did you even look for a job today?" And he's trying to open the door and get the smoke out of the... No, Billy hadn't changed a bit, has he? Now, Billy's problem might not be your problem. But we're all called to mature, aren't we? We're all called to leave certain things behind and pick up new things in our lives, to grow in our service to others. Now, we can't do it all. We can't all visit the hospital, visit the homeless, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, teach handicapped children, but we can all do something, can't we? And we're all called to do something. We have our role to play in the kingdom. We know what's on the final, don't we? I had a friend of mine in seminary. Last little story, I promise. Friend of mine in the seminary, He was always good. He was always good for this, at least. Getting close to the end of the semester, he would raise his hand. He would say to the professor, "Professor, what's on the final?" And the professor might try to give a vague answer. And he would say, no, is this chapter on the final? Is this article on the final? Do we have to read this for the final? If he tried to get a vague answer, he would press it home. We'd be cheering him on, but we'd be just taking our notes. We all want to know what's on the final, right? Well, we got the final today. The big final. The ultimate final. When I was in your midst, did you care for me? Did you recognize me? What you did for the least of my brothers, that you did for me. Jesus Christ is our King. There he is with our sins crowning his head, looking out at his subjects, forgiving them. But he will come again, and he will come in glory to separate the sheep from the goats. Let us pray today that we are among his sheep, the sheep of his flock, who recognized him hidden in our midst.